Well, I'd like to pick up on what Sylvia spoke to us about earlier, but just before that, let's take a look at the gospel reading, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. They're very different, aren't they? Jesus really emphasizes the difference between them in their way of thinking, their attitude when it comes to prayer, and their attitude towards other people. As always in the Bible, Jesus is revealed as a shrewd judge of character who perceives the attitude of the heart. And as he told this story, there will surely have been some present who were being challenged personally, thinking, well, what sort of person am I? Do I compare myself with others when I pray? Who was Jesus speaking to when he told this story? Well, did you notice at the beginning of the reading it says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. So Jesus is speaking to those who trusted in themselves and despised others. And that was religious people. People who even dressed it up in religious language, as the Pharisee did. God, I thank you that I'm not like others. He was full of himself, wasn't he? He was standing and praying out loud, which was the normal way to pray in those days in the synagogue. But he used his prayer as an opportunity to say how good he was compared to others, to rehearse his piety, maybe even hoping that people would notice how pious and religious he was. As he reminded God in his prayer that he fasted and gave even more than he was obliged to under the law. The tax collector, on the other hand, was truly aware of his failings. He didn't feel worthy enough to approach the area where all the religious people were. He stood far off. He was also a believer and he wanted to come into God's presence to pray, but he didn't feel worthy. He couldn't even put his prayer into words. All he could do was to express his sorrow in his body language. The reading says he beat his breast and to cry out in desperation, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He trusted God to hear him and to be merciful. And of course, as Jesus said, the tax collector was the one who went away forgiven and reconciled with God. One of the things that struck me about this story is the way in which the Pharisee judged the other man because of who he was, what sort of job he did, what he thought he was capable of, and where he thought he was with God. He clearly thought the tax collector was beyond the pale. He wasn't worthy of a good relationship with God. So I'd like to open this up to think about how easily we can judge, can make unconscious assumptions about people because of the state of their health or their age. The assumptions we can make about their ability to have a relationship with God or the contribution they might be able to make to the life of our church. Sylvia was speaking earlier about dementia, what sort of a condition it is and how we as a church might become a bit more aware, more understanding about dementia. And this, of course, is a sensitive subject. It's a condition that many of us might have had experience of in terms of caring for someone else with dementia, living with dementia ourselves, or fearing that we might develop it in future. And as she was saying, loss of identity is one of the big fears, as well as an actuality, when someone no longer remembers who they are and where they fit into the world. The theologian and medic John Swinton has written a lot about this, and he concludes that God remembers who we are even when we ourselves have forgotten who we are, or even who God is, and how to relate to him. Our identity in spiritual terms, in God's eyes, is not diminished by any cognitive loss of identity we might have as a result of loss of memory, of dementia, or any other illness affecting our brain. God doesn't define us or the worth of our lives by what we are able to do physically or our mental or emotional capacity. The important thing to him is who we are as human beings made in the likeness of God. That's what gives us dignity and worth. And our care for each other should reflect this truth, especially within the church, but also in the way we care for others in society. So our desire as a church is to welcome those who are frail, showing signs of dementia, or who are otherwise no longer able to be involved in the way that they used to. And that's really important. That's why we encouraged these three, Sylvia and Mal and Fiona, to go on this dementia awareness course because we felt it would be really helpful. It was a full day of training. It was really good. And we felt it would be helpful for rolling out this awareness to the rest of the congregation. As Sylvia said, with support and adapting to how we do things, we can enable people to participate in the life of the church for longer. We can value the gift of prayer ministry that those less physically able are also able to offer. They might not be able to do things practically, but they can pray and be involved in what's going on in that way. In all sorts of ways, we can bring out the best in others by being gentle, patient, and kind, even if they do have rather frustrating characteristics, shall we say, because of their illness or because of their age. I've been thinking about mental health recently because of what's been in the press. There's been masses in the press in the last few weeks, hasn't there? And because 2 days this week I spent on a youth mental health first aid course. It was very good. It was useful to learn together. Both of the main characters in this picture have spoken publicly about their own mental health. This photograph was taken at a recent faith and mental health conference when Justin Welby said what an inspiration Prince Harry had been in speaking out, challenging stereotypes, and campaigning to end the stigma around mental health. I mean poor mental health by that, because of course we all have mental health, but sometimes it's good and sometimes it's less good. Justin Welby too has helped to normalise having periods of depression and fragility in his life in speaking of his own need of treatment last year. We need to talk about this, especially in churches. We need to talk about how we're coping with life, not bottle it up and keep it to ourselves. Justin Welby spoke with feeling when he said, "Struggling with our mental health can be lonely. What we need is connection and community. We all have a part to play in that. Let's tackle this together." Now, did anyone see this picture in the media? This is a picture of a person. He's on, see what side of the bridge he's on? He'd got to the end of his tether and he wanted to jump from that bridge. But a whole bunch of total strangers saw what was happening. They reached out to him. Can you see how they have their arms around him? They're stopping him from jumping and they're talking to him. They're getting help. Now, how much more could we do this as the family of God in this community, where we have natural opportunities to reach out to those who are not well, who are struggling with life, whether it be dementia or mental health issues or the frailty of advancing age? Some of the people in need may well be amongst our own congregation. Some will be amongst our friends, neighbours or family members. Some will be ourselves. So how does our faith help us to reach out to those who need help? The foundation for all that we do in caring for others, and that includes how we care for ourselves, is to remember who we are as human beings, made in the image of God, and to look for signs of grace for the ways in which we can respond with humanity and compassion with the character of Christ, rather than with impatience or self-interest. I know it's a difficult one, but this is what we are called to do. We need to resource ourselves too, because let's face it, sometimes it can be very wearing caring for people who make significant demands on us, whether physically or emotionally. And most important of all, we mustn't neglect our own spiritual lives and our own mental health and well-being, alongside attending to our physical need for rest, recreation, sleep, and food. Sometimes, very sadly, this means that we can no longer care for family members in our own house as we would have liked to have done. And when that point comes, it can be a heartbreaking decision to have to make. We've had a particular focus on dementia today because it is prevalent and we're all getting older and living longer, and so that prevalence is going to increase and it's likely to affect many of us and many of the people we know. And we would like our church to become more dementia friendly, and we can all be involved in learning more about it and thinking about it. Now, Sylvia's put a link in the notices. There's a little passage in the notices about dementia-friendly resources. I would encourage you all to have a look at that and see if you can and get hold of it and read it. It's online, but maybe if you don't have access to the internet, maybe you know someone who does. But that's a really helpful resource, a Christian resource, helping us to learn more about dementia and how we can be more aware and more friendly and more supportive to people living with dementia who we come across. And if you can, have a look at that resource and talk to Sylvia or Mal or Fiona. Regarding mental health, there was a speaker at the Faith and Mental Health Conference that I mentioned that Justin Welby organised, and he's called Christopher Cook. And he said the church needs to reintegrate faith with the fabric of mental health care. Sometimes in life it all feels a bit separate, but he says we need to reintegrate it. And he has written some really good resources designed to help Christians. Now, again, I'm afraid this is an internet thing. So if you're not on the internet, maybe you could ask someone who is. You'll find a link to it on our church Facebook page, and I'll get it in the notices for next Sunday. It's a link to a set of 10 reflections. The whole subject is called Good Mental Health, Supporting Good Mental Health. And there are 10 reflections based on 10 different passages of scripture, some really helpful thought-provoking writing about it, and then some useful ideas, some handy hints, ideas to try to help us put into practice some of the things that he's written. Maybe we could use the resource of the service sheet each week to help us pray and become more aware of others. Perhaps you could set yourself the goal of praying the collect each day. We could take, it's got the Bible reading on it for that week. It can help us think through the sermon, what we heard in the sermon on the Sunday, but it's also got the special prayer for this week. It's not just for today, Sunday, it's for the whole of this week. And today's is a really good one. It speaks of facing change and uncertainty. And those of us dealing with health issues and advancing age may very well find it to be a time of facing change and uncertainty. So it's a good one to pray through. Let's reflect on these things. Let's pray and talk to each other about how we could become more aware of both dementia and mental health issues, and how we as Christians could respond. I think we as a church are really good already at caring and being inclusive, but let's see if there are ways in which we could be even more supportive. And if you yourself are the one living with dementia, or aware that your own mental health and well-being isn't all that it should be, take heart. God already understands what it's like, and has not written us off. He doesn't write anybody off. Don't struggle on alone. Talk to someone about it. Amen.